WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, if you are watching out on the YouTube, and details say some of you do, you'll see that I have the sunshine over Oriole Park at Camden Yards. The sun is out, even though they're on the road this week. Adley Rutschman is here, and you know, I have some old school sports folk involved in what we do. And I have great sponsors, but one of the things all my sponsors have in common is they probably all have an Oriole white paneled hat in their closet somewhere, even if they haven't been lately, haven't been interested lately, and we're all purpled up. Leonard Raskin, the world would believe that you're just a Raven fan, that you've never been to an Oriole game, and you never had a Cal Ripken moment or an Eddie Murray moment or any of that, or Camden Yards or Memorial Stadium shed a tear. But like, it does take something like a really good player coming in who may be a part of the next thing, that there can be some belief, even for people like you that follow the market and myself, who's pretty big cynic when it comes to the Orioles because I've seen their track record. But orange skies are ahead, Leonard Raskin, are they not?
Amen. They're right behind you. I see it. The orange sky is gleaming. And Adley Rutschman, he's going to – I couldn't believe it. I watched a bit of his first game there. And well, I don't think it was the first plate appearance, but the second, he's going to have to get used to this, the chant of Adley at the second at bat. That's pretty strong.
That's like an Eddie.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
With that Eddie.
And I remember back in the day, Eddie said that was unnerving sometimes, you know, like in the beginning, he didn't know how to hit when that was going on. It was in his head.
Were you out there in 79? Like,
absolutely.
I was.
Absolutely.
And the acoustics of Memorial Stadium.
Yeah.
Being underneath. And I usually sat in section 10 and 11, so I wasn't underneath. I was in the gold bleacher seats in the left field, above the 309, but on the fair side. We would catch home runs, not foul balls, if that matters.
It.
Like, above
Got
the bullpen where the big wall was. And the reverberation of that sound, I mean, the hair on the
killer.
Back of my neck would stand up thinking
it
about it.
It was beautiful.
And Eddie, it had a thunder about
it
in a way that I don't know that I've experienced anything like it. You know what I mean? At a sporting event.
I mean, with
Ray Lewis dancing, we've seen it all. But the Eddie chant is so different than anything else.
Locked in the brain. You have an emotional response to it. That's exactly right. And now we could have the 2022 version. We got the Adley going.
Adley.
And then the kid rocks up, and I thought it was a double with an error. They called it a triple. Who cares what it is? Crushes the ball down the right field line and pulls into third base standing up. That was pretty impressive.
It was a moment.
It was great. It was his first hit. He had walked. He got on base. And then third game of the rubber match. He scores the winning run in the 11th inning. So
at 8 o'clock at night, when a game started at like lunchtime.
That's right. A little bit of Baltimore afternoon rain doesn't hurt, but it's good to see the kid. And I think stadium was, let's be orange skies behind you. Stadium was half full.
Wasn't half empty.
It was half full.
You know, you sound like an optimist all of a sudden,
hey,
Mr. Stockbroker markets up, markets
I
down.
I'm always a long-term optimist. I'm always a short-term bear. Short-term cautious. If you're not cautious in the short term, you're a fool because nobody knows the next 20% in the market. And goodness knows Adley ain't coming here to put us in the World Series by himself. But we know if it's done right, if you're invested properly, if your portfolio is structured the way it should be, this is a blip on the screen, albeit the Orioles blip's been a little longer than we would like, but hopefully in the long term. And I heard, I don't even know who our general manager is anymore.
Mike Elias.
Right. I could see him, couldn't get his name. Thank you. Says we're going to be bringing up more kids, that we're going in the right direction, that this rebuild is happening the way he expected. And you can't help but hope. And recoveries are wonderful. And World Series are better.
Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global with money. I was going to say to you, handling portfolios and money and all that.
Yeah.
What is the pitching in a portfolio for you? The most important thing.
So the most The most important thing is the allocation. You have to know your risk tolerance. You have to know your time horizon, and you've got to be a long-term investor. If you need the money you're investing in 10 minutes or 10 months, you should not be an investor. You should be a saver. That money should be guaranteed safe, earning next to nothing, but who cares? Safe, can't go down. If you are an investor, you got to have a time horizon 10 years plus. When you have a 10-year plus time horizon, which for most people is not only doable, but mandatory, and that time horizon extends to the rest of your life, you're going to use this money for your kids' college, for your retirement, for your forever years, for all the things you want to do with your American dream, then the most important thing is that you have a solid allocation between equities and fixed income, and that you rebalance those. So this is an opportunity time. If anybody out there is getting a call from their broker, their advisor, or they're calling their broker advisor, they're scared, they're nervous, they want out, and somebody's either telling you to get out or you're telling them you want out and they let you get out, fire them. That's a facilitator of bad behavior. This is the time you need to rebalance into the market. If you have fixed income, high quality, and you have equities, and the market equities are down, you need to rebalance that portfolio, sell some of your fixed income, get into equities. And over the long term, equities are the greatest wealth creation tool known to mankind. You will create massive wealth because this is what buying low feels like. And when you buy low and you hold long and you rebalance, you win. And it takes massive discipline. It is the hardest thing to do is to move the thing that you have that hasn't gone down in the face of a down market and take the stability piece and put it into the equity piece, which has just dropped 10, 20, 30%. It's the hardest thing to do, but it's the mandatory thing to do to create wealth. The only way you get the gains are to accept the losses, stay the course, keep your allocation, and keep going. If you adjust your allocation here, you blow it. This is a bad time to make moves other than rebalancing.
Tough talk from Leonard Raskin, Raskin Global. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. We like to joke about sports and have a good time. But this is, the market's volatile right now, and it's a weird time. And more than that, and everybody will speak to this, right? And I'm sure you have your political beliefs and what, but either way, inflation's real and things cost more and everything's costing more. You'd like to think that the savings you're saving is growing more, and that if that Coke or Pepsi costs 10 cents more and they're allocating on their end, they're still making money on that, that stock would be, and bonds and places you would be invested would be okay because corporations must be doing well. Look at the price of that gallon of milk, right?
And they will. Right now, what's happening when our viewers, listeners look at the stock market, quote unquote, the Dow, the S&P, they're seeing carnage. And here's the thing. There are a lot of companies that are doing very well. This goes to the point of why stock picking is a loser's game. If you would have invested in the last couple years in the high tech stocks, Facebook, Apple, Amazon, the front runners of the market, Google, now called Alphabet. If you would have invested in these companies, you would have seen great gains over a period of time the last few years. They have been crushed.
And those, you feel stocks, great about the gains, right?
Of course. So you just said.
But you haven't gained anything until you sold it, right?
That's right. You said this market is volatile. I got news for everybody. The market is always volatile. The difference between what's happening right around now and what's been happening in the past 5 plus 10 years is, in the past, the volatility is on the way up. Nobody notices. When the volatility is on the way down, everybody screams volatility. The market is always volatile. You just ignore it on the upside because you have a positivity bias about the market. So you love it. But if you don't sell and rebalance, take those gains and put it into other areas of the market, small companies, value companies, foreign companies that aren't doing as well, you don't really get those gains. You just get paper gains. And so you have to rebalance. Just as I said, the hardest thing to do is take your safe money, put it in equities when they're down. The second hardest thing to do is take profit when your equities are way up to sell the gains and lock into the fixed income or rebalance into asset classes. So again, portfolio allocation is critical, not just equities and fixed income, but what type of equities? How diversified is your portfolio? Do you have small caps? Do you have micro caps? Do you have value stocks and growth stocks? Do you have U.S. stocks and foreign stocks? And how often do you rebalance that portfolio to mitigate the risk of a bad time in the market? Last couple of years, we've been having great returns, and a lot of, you know, I think this is a Warren Buffett quote. I'm not 100% sure who said it. I think it was Warren Buffett. A rising market makes everybody look like a great investor.
Right. But you know what? You do no wrong when business
is turning. Right. You can throw darts. And right now, select businesses are doing really well. Other businesses, not so much. But ultimately, the next 100% in the market is up. So you have to be in, you have to be diversified, you have to be long-term, and you have to rebalance. Those are the keys. And if you own the market and over time rebalance, and at these times when it's difficult, buy in. Now, could it go down further from here? Of course it could. So could I be buying in right now and watch it go further down? Yes. When that happens, you buy more, because the next 100% is not down. The only way the next 100% is down is a cataclysmic, not sun over Camden Yards. It's missiles flying over places we don't want missiles flying. And if that's happening, I promise you, your portfolio is not your concern.
Yeah, your Coke stock won't matter at that point.
Yeah, right? You're hugging your loved ones, and you know, we see a different world.
We've seen that over in Ukraine as well. Leonard Raskin is
That's
here.
That's right.
You know, I want to have a little fun with you, because we talk market, we talk money, the Adley Rutschman thing. Eventually, you and I will see Adley Rutschman play, and we'll get down there. And we could talk about the controversy of the stupidity of bad business of announcing that you're bringing him up at 8 a.m. on Preakness Day. I mean, just when they say to me that they're changing things, I'd be like, I saw what you did last weekend. You had the one asset you have, the one event that you get to create, the one event that you get to create that I might want to buy a ticket for. And Leonard want to drag his wife and his kid down there whenever it is, on a Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday. But you got to give me some advance. You got to give me a chance to get there. And they did not do that. And I would say –
And they did it on Preakness Day.
The tail is trying to wag in the front of the – I have no idea, because if you own the company, if you're John Angelos, if you're Mike Elias, you get called in. You're like, look, we have one asset to maybe sell 10,000 tickets. But more than selling tickets, more than selling cotton candy, more than anything – creating some sort of vibe for the kid, creating a memory. If people really want a commemorative ticket, if it's that big a deal that you're going to do a commemorative ticket, why don't you think about when you're doing it? Because it was completely in their control. They could have announced it Thursday morning, played him Thursday night in Norfolk, given him off Friday, let him fly in on Friday, chill
play
out.
Play him on Sunday.
Play him on Sunday, whenever you want, whenever you want. They could have done it Saturday night, although that was – I mean – we are talking about the same people who told the city and the media and the NFL, we're not going to have a celebration for the football team across
That's
the parking lot. They're the same people that make those kinds of civic decisions they would make the same decision on Rutgers. So that's my two cents on that. But more importantly, the Ravens are celebrating something that's very near and dear to my heart. This is Purple Rain 1. You know, I wrote this 21 years ago. And for ESPN and 30 for 30 to come out, you've told the story about how you weaseled your way onto a plane into Tampa, made your wife angry, but you were there in Tampa
Absolutely.
That night on January 28, 2001. And I'm going to be this week, and we'll have the aftermath of what happens at the Meyerhoff and all that. And people have been asking me about my book and all that. But you are not going to the celebration at the Meyerhoff because of this British rock and roll band.
Hey, there's a chance to see the Who. And here we are, May of 2022. And there I was in 1982.
September of 82. I was there too.
Yes. Before
it was
that.
The Who. Not yes. It wasn't Rush.
Right.
Or yes,
the Who. But before September, tickets went on sale. And back in the day, you had two places that I remember to get tickets. One was the Capitol Center. The other was the Heck Company. and so I had at the time, I was in high school, senior year, and I had a host of friends We were diehard Who fans. And we spread out. We went to all, like, not all, but five heck companies.
I was at Reisterstown Road when those tickets went on sale.
Security
and I
Boulevard.
Met Richard Abrahams, and he'll confirm that we were there
Security
together.
Security Boulevard. And I was elected to go to the Cap Center. I was down at the Cap Center.
You had the best party then, because there must have been 10,000.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Was there anything better than camping out for concert tickets?
Oh, my God. We were there at midnight.
Camping out for concert tickets.
We were there at midnight. And what else was insane was every door, every ticket booth had people. So you had to pick your line. So we picked our line. And then that side of the parking lot, we partied. And the other side, they partied. And then at 10 in the morning, ticket window opened. And we got tickets for what? Not just the Who. The Who
final
farewell
final
tour. And I have in my possession, not with me this morning, because I didn't know we were going
to
yak about the Who, but
you have to
in my possession, the program from the farewell tour.
Eminence Front. It's a put on.
82. It was a put on. Because now in 2022, 40 years later, and I mentioned this to someone over the weekend, and here's what they said to me. You do realize they have toured more since the farewell tour than they had before the farewell tour. Think about it. They were a band of the 60s, 70s. They were farewell in 82. That was about a 15-ish or so year run. And here we are in 2022.
Hold on, so you tell Matthew that you stayed up all night for Who tickets tonight, that you camped out. Does he understand that?
I mean, he has no concept of what this is.
These young people.
The boy at 20, first of all, he barely knows the Who. And second of all, he doesn't understand that at all because he picks up his phone, he gets a code, and the code says, this is how you buy your tickets for the Buckeyes for football. And the 23rd of May is student Buckeye ticket buying day.
Oh, my God. So this is the...
So 10 o'clock, he goes online. He puts in his code. And because he classes as a senior, he gets first dibs. And he goes in and picks his seats and gets... Or his seat. And he gets a student ticket. He never pays anything. It's online. He never goes anywhere. It's online. And his tickets show up in his Ticketmaster account. And he shows his phone to get into the
stadium. You don't meet girls this way. You meet girls camping out for concert tickets.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly.
Camping out for concert tickets was killer. Oh. I camped out for the Stones. I camped out for the Who. I was in Kentucky. You know, I went to the Derby. And I was with a friend who was telling the story that the Who just played last week, the week after the Derby.
At Riverfront, they played.
They played Riverfront, and it was a benefit concert. Now, most of our listeners, because it's you and me, and we get a little maybe older crowd, they may remember this. It is the first time the Who has played Cincinnati since the great rush of general admission tickets and people dying underfoot trying to get the seats. And they played this concert as, and this blew me away, as a benefit for scholarship for the children of the people who died.
The Who tragedy is something that's been with us our whole lifetime. It's something when I went to concerts, my parents were concerned about after it happened, right?
Scared to death.
It ended general admission seating, you know, until Springsteen brought it back 15 years ago. But, you know, WKRP did a very serious segment on, episode on that. And so, yeah, I mean, I love The Who. I've been seeing The Who forever. I wish I could go to The Who. But unfortunately, I've got these purple memories here. The 30 for 30 on the Ravens, that I'm not taken aback that it's happening, but it's been 21 years, and it really is. I started to reread my book, and the second book was actually a better book. I wrote this when I was younger, you know, but this is first person. These are my memories and my passion and how much I love the football team and what it meant to the city. I would just most of this book is about what it meant to me and the city and being a I'm wearing Colts colors in my Raskin Global shirt, but what it meant to lose. I wore my Baltimore Colts belt buckle to the Preakness on Saturday. My son found it in the house. You know, my childhood Baltimore Colts belt buckle. Yeah. I wore it the other day for the first time since 1978, probably, when I was a little boy. And but these memories and what this championship meant for the city. I know this 30 for 30 is going to be about Ray Lewis and Tony Siragusa and the Trent Dilfer. Like, and that's cool. That's all.
Yeah.
But the real story that I wrote here was about this city not having a football team, being told we'd never have a football team. And
get,
oh, by the way, 5 years later, we had a parade. This was about the fans of Baltimore football. That's what that
right.
championship. And I know ESPN's not, they don't, they're going to turn this into Rod Woodson and Celebrity and Shannon Sharp and how many holes. And that's great. And it was all of that. John Ogden,
right.
all of that.
Right.
But really the story of the city is the real story of Purple Rain 1.
Well, who's doing it? Who's doing it? I mean, I know it's the 30 for 30 crew, but who's talking that story? That's what I want to know.
I hit the producers. It's an NFL Films presentation.
Okay.
So it's going to be looked at from a football
perspective. Who's the narrator? Who's the
well, it's not my friend, I mean, Steve Sable. If it were, I'd call Steve and say, Steve, make sure you get the story right. Because the story really is about fans who never thought they'd have a football team and were told forever we would never have a football team.
Right. Build
and
a museum.
And 5 years later, we had the Cleveland Browns and we won a championship with Art Modell and a houndstooth. Yeah.
Hey, you know, it's awesome. And the other thing that I think is and I don't know where this falls in the lineage as well, but we won a Super Bowl here before the Colts won a Super Bowl there.
Well, that's page one. That's page
You're
one.
Darn right.
That's in the prologue.
And that's what it's all about, baby. That's what it's all about. We didn't win it with a Mayflower. We told them we were going.
I have a couple copies of these left that I'm selling for $20. And people have been hitting me. If they want them, let me know. I'm still very proud of the books. But it does give me a chance to sort of give it a second life. But more than that, it gives me a chance to put the ring on, go down, see where these people are in life. And I'm still pretty close with all the 35ers. I mean, of all the things that I participated in my life that still have meaning to me 21 years later, being around that team and the relationships I have with Mike Flynn and Kim Herring and Jack Del Rio and Brian Billick and Marvin Lewis and just down the line, Jamal Lewis, Peter Boulware touches base with me every once in a while. That's a wonderful memory for all of us. And I think all of us are really looking forward to seeing the film.
No question. We've told this story. I remember Super Bowl night. I stayed in the stadium. Security tried to kick us out. We kept moving. We finally, late Super Bowl Sunday night, ended up near the tunnel before they threw us out. And David Modell came out with the trophy to do a WBAL home shot TV. And we were screaming. It was three of us. There were 100 people left in the stadium that security didn't get to leave. And we were screaming, and he came over and handed us up the trophy.
That's my dude right there.
What could have been better as a fan than getting to hold the trophy Super Bowl night in the stadium? And David Modell, we dropped. So Tampa, for those that have never been, it's kind of like the Raven Stadium in that the field is below the seats. So, you know, when you're on the first row of the seats, there's about a 5-foot-ish, 4-foot drop to the field. So David Modell came over to us because we had our Ravens, everything, and we're screaming. He showed us the trophy. We're like this, like a baby. Give us the baby. He gave us the baby. We dropped a camera to him. We traded. He looks up, takes pictures of us holding the trophy, throws the camera back. We drop the trophy back. It was ridiculous. And then I went out and told Jane Miller about it outside the stadium on a live shot back to Baltimore. And just this past weekend, it came up in conversation. And my wife, again, because a friend, I don't remember who it was talking about how his wedding day was just the best day of his life. And my wife brings up that on air back to Baltimore from Tampa Live, I said that holding a Super Bowl trophy was the best day of my life, not my wedding day. And so 21 years later, she still says to me, not my husband, best day of his life was holding the Super Bowl trophy. So then I had to give her a little jab because I love her. I had to give her a little jab. And I said, well, that was the best day of my life at that point. But then our son was born. So, you know, it was after that. The boy came after. So she's now feels like she's fallen to number three on the scale. Super Bowl trophy number one. Son born number two. Wife number three. Wedding day was pretty damn fabulous.
Well, you know, and you're gonna miss the reunion for a damn Who concert that you saw in 1982.
82. I've seen him a couple times since too, but you get the opportunity to see the Who. It's a nut, and I understand the set list is pretty tremendous.
Sun shines, people forget, you know? They forget they're hiding behind an eminence front. Leonard Raskin is here. He is Raskin Global. You can find him at RaskinGlobal.com. Going away for a couple of weeks, and we will not be conversing as often, but I hope to catch you somewhere on your trails of the American dream in Europe, having a good time, and we will see each other again before you leave. And at some point, by the time you get back here, Adley Rutschman will be going to the Hall of Fame, Len.
There you go. He's going to take us to the promised land.
Hey man, do you have a copy of Purple Rain 1? If you don't,
I think I need a signed copy from the author.
You know what's the most important part? My wife grabbed this one out of the group in there. Oh, this isn't one of them. We had a whole bunch of them signed by Brian Billick that were on the front. I was going to open it and say, "Brian Billick signed." This is empty, but Brian has signed a whole bunch of them. So I have those.
I need a dual signed.
All right, done. Billick, I got one in the car.
Billick
I got
it and the author. What could be better than that?
All right.
Got to put that on the shelf. Put it right in the office. Right.
No
on
typos
the
in this one because Kevin Eck edited this one. So this is better than the second one for typos. Hey, I appreciate you. Have good travels. Have a great holiday here this week.
And, absolutely.
And we'll keep protecting money. Leonard Raskin's at Raskin Global. He protects people's money and helps you live your American dream. He's going to be out living his summer dream here all summer long. I got my dream, eat some crab cakes. I actually had a crab cake in Annapolis at the Boatyard at my friend Dick Franio's place on Sunday. Went and saw the Bodines down there. We're going to be out all week long doing crab cakes. The Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play Thursday at Black Swan in Harbor East. I think Jamil McLean's going to be stopping by. On Friday, we're going to be at Nick's Grandstand Grill in Timonium from 2 until 5. Holiday weekend. It's a holiday Friday. We're going to blow it out, have some fun, talk some horse racing, catch up with Tommy, and some more friends. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with Goodwill Industries and our newest sponsor, Window Nation. We're talking 2-for-1 windows. We'll be telling you more about that around here as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST, Towson, Baltimore, AM 1570, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.